Today on Tim and Sid, one of the most skillful analysts in the game today, Nate Burleson, joins us in studio ahead of Super Bowl 54.
The skills competition takes center stage in St. Louis.
And P. Skills is an all-star.
Hey now, you're an all-star.
Don't do it.
Get your game on.
Oh my God.
Go play. And all that glitter that's gold. But it
has break the mold. Don't get it twisted. I don't like the song.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in. Coast to coast. Entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back. Enjoy the show. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go.
Don't get it twisted.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna go me. Smash Mouth.
I could swear that my son just asked me like a couple days ago, who's Smash Mouth?
He said, don't worry about it. And your answer was a career you don't want to have. Although, am I also not getting it twisted? Like, do they have way more money than we acknowledge Smash Mouth?
Oh, yeah, no.
In royalties and all that
stuff? I think that those songs, I mean, Jock Jams alone with All-Star has to give some royalties, no?
Matt Taylor, director of the show, and Matt, don't get it twisted. I don't need to jump it in my ear for the rest of the show, but he does make a good point.
Right.
The royalties on Shrek alone for that song were huge.
Right.
It's a great point, Matt. Please don't talk to me the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, I think Smash Mouth's laughing at us. That's a megaphone. Are we laughing at Smash Mouth or is Smash Mouth laughing at the rest of us? That's what I want to know. Tim McAuliffe is going online.
No, I'm not just going to do
so that. This is quintessential Tim, and I love it. Tim is going to go down this rabbit hole.
My wife absolutely hates it.
Oh, listen. I think it's an endearing quality.
There's a net worth thing, and it says Steve Harwell,
I think,
who is the founder and lead singer.
The fat lead singer, yes.
Is only worth $5 million. You would think if the royalties were cashing in that it would... I mean, $5 million is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong.
God, Mitch Marner's making twice that this year. Actually, more than that, technically. $5 million for, like, on a royalties conversation, that's not much.
15 years later, here's what it's like to be in Smash Mouth.
Is that the name of the article?
Mike Magazine, yeah.
Sounds like a depressing-ass article.
It does.
It is Friday, January 24th. I didn't call for this. I know it's Smash Mouth. Somebody in my ear, it's Smash Mouth All-Star. Yes, I know. Oh, it's an instrumental. See, that's the information I need.
It's not karaoke day.
It is not.
Okay, it's not.
Tim McAuliffe sitting over here. Dagan Pasquale is standing over there. Ken Reed is in the building. We are Sportsnet, Tim and Sid. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I didn't call for the song. Not my fault. The Leafs are struggling. The Habs are struggling. Flames are struggling. They hate the Oilers. The Oilers hate Calgary. Vancouver, where are you? Oh, you're up in a tree in first place. What? Doing really well. Trying to rhyme quickly. Don't dwell. Brady Tkachuk is an all-star going down. Thank you, Austin Matthews. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, skills competition tonight on Sportsnet and CBC. Some of them aren't that good. All that glitters is gold. I hope Canada's 3-on-3 women's team kicks some ass tonight.
All right, you're done.
What was that part? Wasn't there a whistle part in the song? I'm sorry. It overcame me. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of Steve Harwell, 20 years of Smash Mouth, and getting you coming to terms with all those all-star memes and stuff like that. We put up a poll at sportsnet.ca/vote. Are we laughing at Smash Mouth or are they laughing at us? 75% say they are laughing at
us. Potentially,
But the way that question is phrased it sounds like Tim and Sid are laughing at Smash Mouth. And that's not what you meant. You meant like the
world. Society. Yeah.
Yeah, as society.
It's Tim and Sid and everyone else.
Right. Because naturally the response would be they're laughing at you jackasses. Because what have you accomplished compared to Smash Mouth? And I get that.
Well,
I get
that. As you could tell, I soon will have a number one hit. I don't know. I don't know how. I need the right producer.
You know what? You know what? You're wasting your time here.
I've been told that before. By bosses,
right.
By station GMs.
Oh, okay.
It's like an ongoing message. Maybe I need to pick up on something. I don't know.
What about the audience? Have they told you yet? Because if they haven't told you, then bleep everybody
else. The audience hasn't. Hey, Sid, get off the air. You suck.
What? Right okay, here forget it.
Very quickly. Sorry about
that. I like this headline. This from COS. You might want to see this one, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
It reads.
Should I walk over or are we going to flash it?
No, I got it. I got it. Smash Mouth singer goes on tirade, attempts to fight fans after being pelted with slices of bread.
Wait a second. Wait a second. When you try and make a Smash Mouth sandwich, right. That is the ultimate, like, I grew up Portuguese, that is the ultimate disrespect. Yeah. Don't throw the bread. Don't throw the bread at Smash Mouth. At Smash Mouth. At Smash Mouth. This is their song at Smash Mouth.
They played at
DJ. Lots of white people. Lots of white people.
Alright. Okay.
I didn't call for either of these tracks. Just so we're clear.
By the way, they got pelted by slices of bread. Can't make this up. Fort Collins, Colorado. The taste of Fort Collins. Some people had a bunch of bread at the taste of Fort Collins.
Who? Okay.
Like, is the taste of Danforth or the taste of Vancouver or wherever you do the taste
well,
of?
Well, good thing no they weren't playing the bread and honey in Streetsville and people were pissed off. That's a sticky situation. It's Friday, January 24th.
Bread and honey in Streetsville?
Yeah. Right. You never heard of it? You never did the bread and honey? It's descended into chaos, but it's still a good time. Yeah. There's a parade on the Saturday, first Saturday of June. There's a parade. And it celebrates
downtown Streetsville,
which is a wait for it street. And then there's a lot of the Shriners show up. They're awesome.
Yep.
And then there's bread and honey, mm-hmm. and the kids love it. I know, like, kids that get enamored by like a parade. I'll never quite understand. What's that?
Never mind.
You're looking at it. We debated one year. Could we get a float? The Sixero family. Could we get a float
at the Bread and Honey Festival?
In the Bread and Honey Festival, where I would be shirtless throwing up beads.
All right, Tim and Citizens, right now, your quest. How would you decorate the Sixero float?
Well, there goes the show. Nate Burleson's in at 6. We might be done that segment.
While you're working on that, let's start the show, please.
All right, it's Friday. Good idea, Tim. It's Friday, January 24th. I'm Sid Sixero. He's our all-star. He's Tim McAuliffe. This is Tim and Sid. Get a hold of us on Twitter at Tim and Sid. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are also very solid. Tim and Sid podcast available 24/7.
You can also stream the show, any device, download the Sportsnet app for more information. Coming up over the next 2 hours live on television and radio, we will discuss Milos.
Moving on.
Clippers.
Trouble in Paradise?
NHL Skills Competition.
Yeah, Sportsnet and the CBC.
Pascal Siakam.
All-Star.
Nate Burleson.
Tim and Sid All-Star.
It was the Milos, right? Another game for Milos. I know, but a bunch of people are going to go, why is he doing that accent?
It's the Seinfeld
and they don't
thing.
Get it. Yeah. And then they're going to rip me for doing the accent. And it was just a Seinfeld thing. So please don't write
everyone
in.
Everyone relax.
Ignorantly and overreact.
And by
like
the way, for those of you who were super young, Seinfeld was pretty good. Go watch it.
Another game for right? Milos.
Go watch it.
Reference is only 30 years old now.
Don't go watch some weird millennial show about vampires.
Next, I'll tell you about Yakov Smirnoff. Super Bowl 54, 9 days away. Nate Burleson.
What was the Smirnoff joke? Sometimes camera looks at you. What was the Russian joke from Yakov Smirnoff that was wildly inappropriate, but right now very topical?
Oh.
Boy, I just ground the show to a halt here.
We already did. It's fine.
Sorry.
Super Bowl 54.
Way to go, Dagan.
Someone will send it in. I'll read it to you by the end of the right. Yakov Smirnoff's gag. Mother Russia, something, something, something.
I can't remember what it is.
Super Bowl 54, 9 days away. Nate Burleson. NFL Network, CBS Sports will join us in studio. He is in town. I don't know if he'll join us in studio or run away after the last 10 minutes of this show or the first 10
Could
minutes of
the
show.
Could go either way, really.
We'll get his Super Bowl pick, his favorite Super Bowl musical moment. Will we do that, too? Can we do that, too?
Well,
a little best of the week with Nate.
We're getting frisky music.
Full hour. Nate Burleson, one of our favorite guests of all time, has decided to join us in studio, which might be a horrible mistake or wonderful television.
I'm looking forward to it. I know he won't, but I am. It's NHL Skills Friday night in St. Louis, Tim. Mm-hmm. Full schedule of events. Not all of them will be good. Go tonight. What will be good, 3-on-3, 20-minute hockey game between our women's national team members of and the rival United States of America. Cassie Campbell of Hockey Night in Canada will join us live from St. Louis a little later on. We'll talk about that. All that and much more coming your way. Let's lead off the show, however, with some basketball. And, Tim, a phenomenal moment that Kenny Smith refused to tell us about for both Pascal Siakam and the Toronto Raptors yesterday.
That is
absolutely fantastic.
Here's the way it turned out in the Eastern Conference. How about a first-timer? Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors, his first All-Star selection in his fourth season. Averaging 24 points a game, that's number 15 in the league, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. 10 30-point games. In the previous 3 years, he had a total of 5 of those.
It's unbelievable, man. Just, I think it's, you just got to think back of the journey. You got to think back of my dad, you know, just kind of taking a chance and being like, man, I watched these guys on TV, they play, you know, they follow this orange ball and it's super fun. People, you know, are excited and watch them play and it's so exciting and him wanting, you know, and hoping and dreaming that one of his sons is going to do that, being able to be at this stage and you know, winning a championship, being an all-star, not only an all-star, but starting an all-star game, like for a lot of people, like that wasn't really possible. And that's something that he dreamed of.
So, I mean, it's an amazing story. What does Siakam's all-star selection, first off, mean to the Raptors franchise?
They've had an all-star starter since 2015, every year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really remarkable, considering this is once a team that had, like, Rafer Alston on it, and Milt Palacio, and Eric Montross, and we could be here for an hour and a half.
We could go through all the names.
I don't want to start this game,
because
you're pretty good at it.
It all started with Vincenzo Esposito.
Shout out to Vincenzo Esposito.
Right. And A.C. Earl scored 40 here.
Right? A.C. Earl. Did I tell you I once had a buddy when Eric Montross was a Raptor? I swear to God, we're going to get Pascal Siakam in a second. When he was a Raptor, he used to go around downtown Toronto at night on like Fridays and Saturdays where they were smoking an illegal substance and convince everyone in the crew, he's a tall guy, that he was Eric Montross. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
He'd have a good time on Fridays and Saturdays because he would convince people in downtown Toronto who were slightly inebriated that he was Eric Montross of the Toronto Raptors.
Had that work for him.
He's a large white man, so they didn't call him on it.
Right.
And they were, quite frankly, high. So it worked every single time.
Did he have a haircut that you could set your watch to?
At times he did.
You would have to.
Johnny United Simpsons.
Yeah. Yes.
Well played.
Thank you very much.
All right,
and getting the reference, too.
Let me put aside that scheme to smoke pot as Eric Montross and talk about Pascal Siakam.
Good.
Explain to me how, I don't care what Kawhi did, how are the Raptors in every way, shape, or form not the best organization in the NBA? For how they market this team, for how they scout this team, for how they find talent, for how they nurture talent, for how they let it grow and become not only a most improved player, but a damn all-star start. How do you improve on a most improved player? You do what Pascal Siakam just did.
Right. So then I ask you, because we've talked about this before, you're damn right. Like, think of what they have been able to do with what they've been able to do it with. How is Masai Ujiri not locked in long term?
I'm right there with you, Tim. I every 3 months I ask myself this question. And I'm not debating, and I don't think you are, the relationship between Larry Tannenbaum, MLSC, the board, and Masai.
No.
We know what those men think of Masai Ujiri. That's not up for debate.
Remarkably complimentary for those who are wondering.
Yes.
Then we can move past it.
What would scare me if you're a fan, if you're a season ticket holder, if you have lived and died Raptors for your entire life, to whom you and I know many people in that boat, the fact that Masai hasn't been locked up like, say, a Brendan Shanahan is a little concerning to me. How do you not look at the last 24 hours? Hell, this week, Masai's telling people they're gonna die trying.
Yeah.
In terms of repeating for that title.
Yeah, get
right?
rings or die
trying. He's not scared of nothing. And then you look at what Pascal Siakam has become. Give Masai Ujiri a lifetime deal. Give him 2% of the company. I'm not kidding. This guy cannot. He's got the Midas touch. He traded Carmelo Anthony, for God's sakes. He traded Andrea Borgnani, for God's sakes. He's finding guy Fred VanVleet's going to make $20 to $25 million a year. He was a nobody. Terrence Davis was a nobody. Wasn't drafted. He's now an integral part of the bench. You have players all over the world who have Masai's name on the tips of their tongue. He is becoming a god in this business that will attract any player from any part of the world to your organization with pride. And he is the only reason I don't totally scoff at the Giannis talk. There is no other reason but Masai.
Right.
Nothing else matters but Masai. How is Masai Ujiri not signed for like 20 damn years? How? Answer me, Tim. I know you're not on the board, but answer for the board. How is this not the case? How is that guy not making as much as Chris Paul? That's a $40 million a year general manager. I've never seen one before in my life. That's a $40 million a year executive.
President of basketball operations.
Not a general manager. You're right. Let's up it. Give him 2% of MLSC. He stays for life. Raptors are contenders. Sign Giannis. Boom. You're an all-star. Get your game on.
All right, I agree with you. I don't know if you may have gone a little too far at the end.
Let's bring it back to Pascal.
It's unlike you to take it a little too far at the end, but I agree. I have no idea how Masai Ujiri is not signed beyond this year, and if I was a Raptor fan, I would be asking the same of my board and my president of basketball operations.
However, forgive me as I went off on a different tangent here. The story is Pascal. Let's talk about Pascal.
Can I full stop for the kids on Pascal Siakam?
Of course.
And listen, I know that he's 6'9", and that's a mitigating circumstance, but think of how far this young man has come with the help of Masai Ujiri and the rest of the staff and New Mexico State. I mean, my guy started playing basketball at 15. LeBron James was on national TV at what, 16?
10.
Pascal Siakam picked up a ball and said, maybe I'll play this game at 15. And he's an all-star starter at 25. And just like every other overnight sensation story, it never actually is overnight. It's actually a study in hard work, determination, and perseverance. For those who don't know the story, let Tim and Sid help you out. Started with a skinny kid in Cameroon who grew up obsessed with soccer. His dad, as you heard, had a dream that his four sons would play in the NBA. And his brothers did play D1 ball. Mm-hmm. Pascal first picked up the ball, 15 years old. That summer, he attended a camp run by former NBAer Luke Baamute, which led to an invitation to Basketball Without Borders in South Africa, which isn't all that close.
What year was that?
To Cameroon, 2012.
Wow.
That's where it said that Masai Ujiri saw him for the first time. So now you have the connection here. That camp opened opportunities in the United States of America. After a year of prep school in Texas, Siakam went to New Mexico State University, what he called the only school that showed true interest in him. After redshirting his first season, he earned WAC Freshman Player of the Year honors in 2014-2015, and Player of the Year the next season. Third, fourth, whatever you want to call it, fifth leap of faith happened when he declared for the draft in 2016. Said he had the best workout of his life at the draft combine. He was taken 27th overall by the Raptors. Don't forget, that's seven spots later than Bruno Caboclo a couple years earlier. And yes,
I tried to forget that name.
It was considered a reach by many to take him at 27. Even after he became the Raptors' first rookie to start a season opener since Jonas Valanciunas in 2012, he lost his starter spot and played just 10 minutes total in the Raptors' 10 playoff games that year. He took two shots in 10 playoff games in his rookie year, but he went to work, first in the D-League with Raptors 905, leading Mississauga to their first championship since,
I believe, the Streetsville Derbies in 1979 when they won the Sutherland Cup.
Oh, nice.
I'm going back a ways on Streetsville Derbies trivia, but I that's the first championship in Mississauga that came to my mind.
I love the Streetsville Derbies.
Shout out to the Derbies.
Pascal was the MVP of the finals in the D-League, but so was Elliot Williams, who finished his career in 2016 with Panathinaikos, and Jarnell Stokes.
Who?
It's not exactly the key to the future in the NBA, But Pascal's work started paying off the next year, 2017, 2018. He was good. 2018, 2019, he was averaging 17 points per game for the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Add the 2019 Most Improved Player Award and then a four-year $130 million contract, and you knew my guy was here to stay at a level. But all-star starter, my God, just 10 years after picking up a ball, seems about as likely as skiing through a revolving door, but Pascal has pulled it off. And the overnight sensation, 6-0?
I jumped on that.
Not so overnight. No, you didn't.
I jumped a little bit. I think you walking everyone down that road is so important on this day because we know, but sometimes we don't acknowledge enough.
Right.
What a crazy story of progression over a shockingly short period of time the Pascal Siakam story is. And quite frankly, we are not the only ones. I mean, obviously, the whole NBA world is talking about those announcements last night on TNT in terms of East and West starters. But Siakam was on the tip of a lot of people's tongues, not least of which a guy who also was announced as a starter last night, Joel Embiid. Now, Embiid today was practicing, not sure his status for the Laker game tomorrow night. They're on primetime on ABC, Sixers and Lakers. But Joel Embiid, when asked about his own All-Star nod, quickly turned the focus to Toronto's guy, also from Cameroon.
Cool.
I thought this was kind of cool.
I was more excited about, you know, Pascal, you know, two guys from Cameroon. You know, we barely started playing basketball about nine years ago. So to see us, you know, especially our starters, means a lot. Thank you, means a lot. I'm proud to be, you know, from Cameroon and from Africa and representing.
I mean, a couple things there, Tim. That's one rival to another. We're talking Sixers, Raptors.
Yeah.
And I know Kyle earlier this week was asked, you know, is that a real rivalry with the Sixers? He was downplaying it. No, no. That's probably Toronto's biggest rival, dare I say, unless they meet the Bucks again in an Eastern Conference final, then that's a thing. But you look at what they're doing for sport in Cameroon, and I grew up where, like, the Cameroonian heroes and the guys I want, Roger Miller, 1990 World Cup, right?
Yeah.
Samuel Eto'o. One of the great strikers of his generation. Soccer was king. You're looking at two young men that are changing the narrative a bit in Cameroon in a significant, significant way. And it's just really, and I'm not the biggest Embiid guy, but I respect what he just said. And I think it's really cool what they are doing for the perception of basketball in Cameroon and for areas all around that. It's really, really interesting.
You want to bring this full circle?
Yes.
The man Pascal Siakam idolized while growing up in Cameroon. Samuel Eto'o.
There you go.
Inter Milan?
Chelsea, Barcelona.
So no Inter Milan.
I don't think there was
Thank
an Inter
you.
Milan.
Appreciate it.
I think you're you know what? Way to end it, Tim. You really screwed that one up. Really messed
up. Let me try and bring this full circle with the entire first segment. Tom writes in and says, Smash Mouth is playing a casino just outside of Edmonton next month. So they're definitely the ones laughing. J-Rock writes in and says, Tim and Sid Sixero, greater than Smash Mouth, hashtag mic drop. That was a pretty good song.
There you go.
Allison writes in and says, the Sixero float, and then provides a gif of a gravy boat on a train.
Gravy boat. Mm-hmm. I would just swim in it naked.
And Jeffrey swim writes in naked. And says, in Soviet Russian, cow milks you.
I got another joke here, Tim.
Brian, in America, you watch Big Brother. In Soviet Russia, Big Brother watches you.
Then he had the joke where they all lived in one room, and whenever his parents wanted to have sex, they'd send him to the window to look out the window, and he'd see his buddy across the street doing the same thing, and they'd wave at each other. Tim, here's another joke. Sid doesn't know what he's talking about. Samuel Eto'o played 2 years at Inter Milan. Tim was right.
Nice.
There you go. That's not a Jakub Smirnoff joke. I just screwed up the Inter Milan Simulator thing.
It's
right.
It's not often that I get the soccer thing right.
Soccer expert Tim McCallum.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, it is an All-Star Friday, kids. Nate Burleson will drop by. Cassie Campbell will stop by. And we talk NHL All-Stars next on Tim and Sid.
What's Tommy doing? He's getting and the worth it.
All right, two quick tweets about when we went off the rails in the opening block and one real tweet. The first two tweets, one comes from Bilko, who writes in and says, "Damn, Sid," and he elongates the damn. "Damn, Sid, that Smash Mouth performance was great, legendary, actually. Had to rewind it and listen to it twice."
Really?
That's pretty good.
Well, I listen, A, thank you for the support. B, you need a life.
Nice.
But thank you for watching the show, yeah, no, honestly. Wait.
Bilko's giving you love and what you're
doing
Bilko,
back. I'm not jet-setting either. Don't worry about it.
Jeff writes in and says, "Thanks, Sid, for making me laugh after a long week. Hashtag pure gold. Hashtag out of key. True story. I have had a real life long week, and he did that for me. So thank you very much, partner. I actually really appreciate the fact that you made me piss my pants in the opening
block. I appreciate it."
And finally, Joseph writes in and says, "I think the proudest guy after the Eastern Conference All-Stars were announced was Masai. Not only Pascal and Embiid from Cameroon, but Giannis of Nigerian parents, out of Greece, of course, can't help but think that he is gushing about the Giants of Africa." And you wonder if not the future of that and Masai being wrapped together.
Again, I am really,
in many ways,
I am really hesitating going down those
attempt
roads.
Compo,
yeah, yeah.
What he wants in the future,
yep.
What franchise he wants to work for in order to further those goals, is the future actually a pro league in Africa? Like, there is a lot of things in my mind of what Masai could do because he's at that level, and I think a lot of people who have been around him, like you and I, but I don't think the people are privy to this. Like, when he walks into a room of celebrities, he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but he's at that level and has that kind of charisma.
But the other things that you and I know that we haven't gone into down through the years, and I don't want to get into specifics with Masai, is the lengths he has gone to, because the man has a family.
Yes.
The man has responsibilities. The lengths he has gone to balance both. The lengths he has gone to remain like a doctor, basically, on 24/7 duty for this Raptors franchise, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
The Kawhi trade. Where was he when the Kawhi trade happened? What part of the world was he in?
Yeah, he was with Barack Obama, literally.
He was in Nigeria, I'm being told. Like, you just don't get there by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is he a brilliant evaluator, but he busts his ass. Because if you're missing one or the other, you're not Masai Ujiri. Masai Ujiri is both. Yeah. I'll tell you this. If the Raptors beat the Bucks, just follow me on this for a second. If the Raptors beat the Bucks again in the Eastern Conference final, hypothetically, the Raptors have Giannis wrapped and ready. That is done. That guy is going to be a Raptor. He's going to pull the Kevin Durant OKC Golden State thing, slightly different, but it'll be exactly that. The Raptors have to prove to Giannis, if you don't join us, you will lose every year.
Do you remember when Brian Colangelo came to Toronto, and I know that his stock has fallen, but one of the things that Brian Colangelo tried to preach was, if you're not going to attract the American free agent to come here because he's afraid of Toronto and the cold and the passport thing, and then go after international players.
Yeah.
And I think Masai has kind of kept that in the back of his mind too, right? Like, part of Pascal Siakam's entry into Canada and feeling comfortable here was at New Mexico State, he had a Canadian assistant coach in Paul Weir, and he had Canadian teammates.
Yeah.
And if you move from Cameroon to a prep school in Texas, you're used to a little adversity, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, you could understand.
I'd say so.
And I think that Masai knows that about Toronto, and I wonder if he can't use that now to lure guys that maybe aren't big name Americans, but the game is global.
Yeah, the game's changing. Couple things. One, it was Kenya where Masai was when the Kawhi trade went down. In my ear. Thank you for that, guys. Two, I know Brian Colangelo's stock has gone down, but we've gotten a lot of pro Brian Colangelo tweets rolling into the show here. And it's just funny that you bring up Brian Colangelo and there's a lot of really positive Brian Colangelo tweets. I'm making a burner joke.
Wow.
Damn. Was it really?
It took me a second.
Wasn't it obvious I was making a burner joke about Brian Colangelo? I'm sorry. Right. It's Friday.
It took me a second. I'm a little tired. NHL All-Star festivities continue. As mentioned, Austin Matthews will not participate due to a wrist injury. Matthews, though, in St. Louis, shaking hands, kissing babies. I wonder if he's shaking with a bad wrist. Not sure. But he did speak to the media yesterday to update his injury situation, and it made a bit of news, at least in the Toronto area.
I think in the grand scheme of things, obviously, the important games are the ones during the regular season. So I think just getting those extra couple days to kind of rest and heal and move on these last 30-plus games, I think was really important. But, I think it was also important for me to still be here. And, it's a big honor just to be selected to the All-Star game in general. So, I'm happy to be here. I think it was just more wear and tear. I can't really pinpoint, the exact day, but it's just been kind of going on and nagging for 2-3 weeks, and kind of hoping that this week off can kind of these extra couple of days can kind of help it. And I'm still planning on hopefully playing next week and then continue that.
Couple things. One, NHL next All-Star game, let's not put speakers next to all the guys so we can't hear them. Can we do that? That's the first request.
Not for the people in the room.
Jesus. Second thing.
Love how upset.
Because I'm not smart, man. Like, I'm not the smartest, the sharpest knife in the drawer. But you're going to put speakers next to everyone and then let's fly everyone into St. Louis and do interviews that you can't hear.
I love when you say I'm not smart and you stumble over the words, because that's something I do.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again.
Right. One in the bush.
Second thing. Yeah, that's what it was, actually. I think Matthews is playing this smart. Why show up? You don't miss a game against Nashville on Monday when the schedule resumes. I'm fine with that. When they say it's a precaution, I buy it, because again, he had 16 shots in two games before the break. Some of the numbers this kid was putting up. I mean, if that's him with a bad wrist, I like to see him with a good wrist. What I'm really worried about from a Leaf standpoint here is, can I not say wrist once and you not go there with the wrist thing?
What are you talking
every
about?
Time I say, you know exactly for, what I'm talking. Every time I say wrist, you look at Dagan, and it's like you guys have an unspoken, he's talking wrists again.
Do you know how
and
many-
then you look back at me, and I know exactly where you want to take it, and I don't know where, because we did this yesterday. I said wrists often, and then you gave me the McAuliffe smirk, which is it's like the heat of a million suns.
You are putting me in a bad position. Because what's happening here is everyone is reacting to 20 years of you saying you have really strong wrists.
But listen.
How many times on this show have you said that you have really strong wrists?
Can we not separate the two?
I know. It's from taking years of wrist shots. We saw it yesterday. You were peppering the backboard.
I need more practice based on what
it was. Old school, squeezing the tennis ball so that you could hit home runs. It was, I don't know if you remember this, but old school used to cut a piece of your hockey stick and then you would put a string down and you'd wrap a weight at the bottom and you'd roll it up the stick
and don't forget,
to build the wrist.
Don't forget the shake weight.
The shake weight, correct.
Right? Don't forget the shake weight.
Right. That is correct.
Frederik Andersen's going to have a bad weekend. He shouldn't be there either, is my point.
That's where you're going to go.
You really think Frederik Andersen needs this in his life right now?
No, he doesn't need
this. Here's a 3-on-none. Okay, good luck, Freddie. Get your confidence back. Get ready for Nashville on Monday.
It's exactly like every other Leafs game. What are you talking about?
Hey.
He's used
Sometimes
to it. He's used to it.
All-star game does you. And Milos Raonic quickly off to the round of 16 at the Australian Open.
Another game for Milos.
Beat Tsitsipas today. Did I get that right?
Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Tsitsipas.
Yeah.
Off to the quarterfinals again. I believe it's his fourth quarterfinal. Off to the round of 16. Pardon me. Won a third round match today. So Milos doing well again at the Australian Open. Should we be surprised?
You're already getting him past. Here's the deal. He's healthy. He's 29. Mm-hmm. He does well in this tournament because he's usually healthy.
Yep.
I hope he stays healthy because let's not forget he was number 3 in the world at one time and hasn't been able to stay healthy. This is ironic that in the year of the rise of the Canadian tennis player that Milos Raonic is the last Canadian remaining in the Aussie Open. I hope. I mean, he's got Djokovic is on his side, and so is Federer. And by the way, tip of the cap to Federer for getting through a five-setter at 38.
Roger.
He was down 8-4 in the 10-point tiebreak and won six straight points. I would love to see a full, healthy Milos season, and maybe this is the start of it.
Hopefully. Go get him, Milos.
Knock on wood.
We're going to take a break. We got the NHL Skills Competition tonight. Cassie Campbell, live from St. Louis, joins us after this. Tim and Sid, live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Time to pay the skills. Still to come on this edition of Tim and Sid TV and radio, the Calgary-born Nate Burleson has returned to his home and native land. He will join us in studio to discuss the upcoming Super Bowl 54.
But first, we go to Enterprise Center in St. Louis. Not only was it the site of an incredible playoff run a season ago by the St. Louis Blues, it is the site of All-Star Weekend in the National Hockey League. Cassie Campbell of Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet is joining us. She will be on the broadcast plenty this evening for Skills Night in St. Louis. Cassie, it is great to see you. Your favorite event tonight, and the one that if they got rid of it right now, you wouldn't be mad at all.
I can't see them getting rid of any, but I'd like to see them add a puck to the fastest skater and maybe make it a little bit more game-like in that sense. But that's one of my favorites, just to see the pure speed and in particular the crossovers coming around the net. That's probably one of my favorite ones. And looking forward to the new one, the Shooting Stars one. It's sort of like hitting a golf ball into nets, if you will, but the players are going to be shooting a puck and going for points, and I think that one's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, we heard this. So there's like a level 30 feet, a platform 30 feet above the ice that guys will be shooting for, guys and women, because I believe that the female All-Stars have also been added to that as well. But they'll be shooting from 30 feet up?
Yeah, basically the platform's just to my right here, and they have sort of a netting piece, if you will, that goes over the crowd, and so it protects the crowd. There you can kind of see it there. The net's just above our shot. And then they're going to have targets on the ice and, you know, sort of plasticky net-type cages and different targets that the players can hit, and they're all worth, you know, a different amount of points, and, you know, you try to get the highest points. And so it'll be interesting, people's strategy. Do you go for the easier target and try to hit it a few more times, or do you go for there's a 10-pointer, I believe, right at center ice, and you can even go down to the far net. I think that one was worth 2 points, if I'm correct. And so it'd be interesting to see some of the strategy that the players use.
And hopefully you don't fan, because if you fan, a fan may take it.
Or fall off the platform.
Yes.
Wouldn't be good either.
Are fans being made to sign are fans in that area being made to sign a waiver?
I would hope so. I think just to come in this building with skills, NHL skills, you got to sign a waiver. I mean, these guys are electric, and to see the women in the 3-on-3, I think it's going to be just so much fun, different. And, you know, I'm obviously really excited and totally biased about the women's event. So I'm just looking forward to see them having fun. And I know that they realize they have to put on a show. They can't just come out here and kind of lollygag around, which we may kind of see on the men's side of things on Saturday night. So they recognize it's a showcase for women's hockey, and they're going to be bringing their best. And it's a Canada-U.S. rivalry. So, you know, it'll have a little intensity to it. Won't be as physical as a normal game, of course, but I think there'll be some intensity to it behind the scenes for sure.
Okay, so how excited would have Cassie Campbell-Pascal in her heyday been to be invited to this and participate in an event like this?
You know, actually, we did have a Canada-U.S. game back in the 2000 All-Star game, I believe. It was in Colorado, and we played one of our lead-up to the Olympic games, you know, during that time. And I'll be honest with you guys, I came this morning. The women had to practice really early this morning. I think it was a 7 a.m. start. And I woke up and I came, and I just kind of sat in a corner by myself and sort of, you know, low profile. And I just watched, you know, I just sat back and I kind of took it all in. It was pretty nostalgic for me. And I was just thinking how far the game has come, and, you know, wishing that our generation could have had, you know, such an opportunity as this. And but that's why you play. That's why you push behind the scenes, is to take women's hockey to the next level so that future generations have more than what you have. And so I really just sat back today. I had a huge smile on my face and just kind of watched how much fun the women were having out on the ice. They were taking pictures, and they were, of course, in their jerseys that haven't been shown yet. You'll see them as part of the skills, but it was professional looking. And at the moment the practice started, you could just feel the intensity ramp up and the importance of this event for showcasing women's hockey. And you got a sense that the players really understand that.
All right, Cassie. So here's a million-dollar question. Could this turn into something more for women's hockey?
I hope so. I mean, you know, Tim and Sid, what if we had a WNHL, and what if we were able to fill practice facilities, and what if we were able to fill NHL stadiums, and, you know, what if we had a game where we could have six NHL franchises supporting a women's hockey team, and what if we had the infrastructure and the marketing structure of the NHL behind us, and what if these girls had their own dressing room that they could keep their equipment in and their expenses didn't exceed their salaries. I think there is a big what if, and I think it's going to be great. I think little girls are going to be watching the skills tonight, and they're going to think, you know what, I can be there one day. And I can tell you from the players, the PWHPA players, it is a big what if. They took a chance. They took a risk. They boycotted playing in any other league. We have never had a professional women's hockey league, let's face it. And I was part of the Canadian Women's Hockey League board for a long time. A lot of people put a lot of work into, you know, trying to create these leagues, but we've never had a professional one. So what if we did, and what impact we could have on grassroots women's hockey? And so I really hope that this is sort of the step to what we will see in the WNHL, and I believe it's more imminent than it's ever been before.
Hmm. Cassie Campbell-Pascal here on Tim and Sid. Cassie, you know, you look at
like
the deal.
That sentence.
Oh, absolutely. And you bring it like kind of full circle in terms of what's happening with the WNBA and the CBA that was just ratified not that long ago. And the passion that the late David Stern had for the WNBA, it worked. It is going to work. It continues to work. It is only going to get bigger. You can see the social media presence every finals, year by year by year. Cassie, timeline in your mind, how far away do you think we are from a league of that level in the world of hockey?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm hoping it starts next September, and I'm starting to get a little bit more doubtful in that. But, I believe we have at least 10 NHL franchises that want a team. In my mind, probably six to start the league is the best route. They'll have highest caliber of players, and there'll be the most parity. I think you'll see the best hockey by just having six and starting small like that. If I not this next September, then maybe the September after that, and it coincides with an Olympic year. And I think that would be a great showcase for the women's game to sort of coincide with an Olympic year. But to me, the sooner the better. I think our game is ready for it. I truly believe behind the scenes that the NHL is ready for it, and it's about time we have a really true professional women's hockey league. It's well overdue, in my opinion.
Here. One more question for you. Man and a woman that people are going to be surprised with their skill tonight.
Oh, boy. I don't know about surprised, right? Because I think everyone really
stars,
knows.
Yeah.
You know, one of the competitions that I'm looking forward is McDavid versus MacKinnon. You know, just the speed there and just how explosive both players are and the crossovers and the technique with both skates so well. From the women's side, I can tell you from the Shooting Stars, Marie-Philippe Poulenc took three shots yesterday and hit the 10-point marker three times. So people in Canada won't be surprised by her skill because we've been seeing at the Olympics for a long, long time. But she's definitely someone that everyone's going to want to watch here this evening, and it's going to be a great show. I mean, I don't think people are going to be surprised by the skill and how it translates into some of the games. I mean, we get to watch it on a regular basis. But I am looking forward to MacKinnon versus McDavid and seeing Marie-Philippe Poulenc, see if she can get the 3 10-pointers tonight in the Shooting Stars competition.
Sometimes people forget about Marie-Philippe Poulenc because they're jumping up and down celebrating the goal that she just scored.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Skills
A few times.
Skills competition tonight, All-Star game down in St. Louis tomorrow, CBC and Sportsnet, where you can find that. Cassie, great stuff. Enjoy it. Thank you.
All right, Tim, Sid, thanks.
Always a pleasure, Cassie Campbell-Pascal. NHL All-Star Skills Competition tonight, 7:30 Eastern, Sportsnet and CBC.
Immediately following tonight's skills, Timmy, you can catch the debut, speaking of Connor McDavid, of the Connor McDavid documentary, Whatever It Takes, chronicling McDavid's return from a potentially career-ending knee injury at the end of last season. That's tonight
On Sportsnet.
On Sportsnet.
On Sportsnet.
Where is it?
On Sportsnet.
It's on Sportsnet. Who else will be on Sportsnet?
Nate Burleson.
On Sportsnet. Super Bowl 54 is around the corner, and our good friend has come north. Nate Burleson back in his home in Nateland.
And where can you watch the Super Bowl?
On...
Not on Sportsnet. One day. One day.
Time for Tim and Sid. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you, Sheepdogs. Tim and Sid live coast to coast in Canada on Sportsnet. We are also on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of the Southern Ontario area. He has developed rather quickly down through the years. And we talk to a lot of really good, smart people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually get a specific type of reaction when Nate Burleson of NFL Network and CBS Sports comes by. On top of that, once in a while, he graces us with his presence in studio, which he has done today. Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Burleson for hopefully the full hour. We haven't broached this with him yet, but hopefully he's good with it. Nate Burleson. In studio.
Is that your way of asking?
For the 4 hour, we're going to do this. Let me make it official because I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at this.
The last time he
came. Look at this. Hold on, wait.
Take the grease. Doctor.
Man.
Doctor.
My God.
It tastes like vanilla.
I wait. For
I feel like Doug Gilmore. Which one of us tasted like vanilla? Sorry.
I wait for you.
Was I more butterscotch?
Yeah, you were more butterscotch.
Okay, great. I don't even know what that means.
It's great
to see you, man.
Never mind.
I'm glad to be
here. We'll hash that out in the break when we can talk.
How's everything going? You guys have done incredible this year, man.
Well, thank you. We're trying here.
We're trying to keep up with you.
Yeah.
Man,
well,
listen.
Wait a second. Hold on. Listen, you're fantastic. But I want to turn this back your way. Because last time I saw you physically, you are sideline in Kansas City.
Yep.
With 80,000 some odd people there. You guys are freezing your ass off.
Yeah.
You're watching Clark Hunt wear earplugs while getting the Lamar Hunt trophy, which is pretty cool to see.
Amazing.
The Lamar Hunt trophy go back to Kansas City. Then you post a video like an hour later of the CBS crew getting back on a private jet.
Yeah.
So you didn't get Monday off.
So check this out. So we were supposed to leave and head to Kansas City that Friday. And my son had a game. So I said, I want to stay. I'll leave Saturday morning. I actually head to the airport. And because of inclement weather, they said all flights are canceled. So I ended up taking a private jet. It's myself, Tracy Wolfson, Boomer Esiason, and Phil Sims, and Coach Cower. So we take this private jet on CBS's tab. The tricky part was we couldn't fly back. We couldn't fly back through just commercial airlines. Bill Cower pulls a newly found Hall of Fame card.
Oh, nice.
He's like, I got a private jet for you guys. So after the game, we ended up going to a private hangar, and it was the first time I ever rode in a Gulfstream. So we get on this airplane, bro. When I tell you this was like, I can only imagine what Jay-Z and Beyonce travels. Like, because I got in there, and it was plush seats. Wine and cheese and steak and burgers and a lot of drinks. And it's all of the CBS bigwigs. And it's one of those moments. You guys know me. As much as you guys compliment me, I'm thankful for that. But I'm also just this regular, humble kid that was born in Canada, raised in Seattle. So I'm sitting on this plane and I'm looking around. I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm here right now. And it was a really cool moment. So I got back and I figured, this is a great way to end the CBS season because we don't do any more shows. Right. Fox has a Super Bowl, but yet the season isn't done. As we all know, we still got Chiefs and 49ers.
I love the story of being able to ride like that and the humble kid. But didn't you also rip your pants while on that play? Because I saw a post from, it might have been Boomer Esiason who ratted you out.
Sorry, you ripped your, I missed this one.
I ripped the back of my pants. I had some nice gray slacks on. No. I tried to tackle Phil Sims in our pregame hit. It was like 9 in the morning. And the only way that I could stay warm without my fingers going numb was to move around. So I told Phil, I said, hey, we're on in like 10 seconds. I'm going to tackle you. And he was like, Nate, please, I'm too old for that. Don't tackle me. And I was like, well, I'm gonna wrap you up. And when I went to reach for him, I forgot the mic pack was hooked up to my hip, and it ripped my pocket. So, you know, I I go all out, and I don't skip leg day. So, you know, my glutes.
Oh, right.
I got good glutes.
Does Phil Simms omit a lot of body heat?
Yeah.
Like, is Phil Simms the guy you want to be next to, and that's in a cold environment?
He does. He does. Right. He's a big old fella. and he is one of those dudes that has a good time on air. So he kind of gets me. He knows when I want to turn up, he's going to turn up right with me.
I want to talk some football, and I also want to separate my shoulder, pat myself on the back.
Okay.
Because last week we had you on.
Yeah.
And I was asking you if the narrative after the next couple of weeks would be Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And I'm watching you on CBS, yeah. And after the game ends, Boomer, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. Phil, right, best quarterback in the NFL. Like, you can kind of see the storyline coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I believe he's the best quarterback in the traditional sense. I feel
You said this best passer stuff last week.
Right, if you want to just take the overall.
I hate when mommy and daddy fight.
I hate it. I know. So here's the thing. Pat Mahomes is the best passer, period. There's no question about it. Okay. And with the way that he used his legs in the AFC Championship game, I mean, you can argue, like, look at what we're seeing right now. His ability to extend the pocket and extend the play with his legs, that's what makes these guys so great. Like, they're really, really good. But what makes them great is the fact that Pat Mahomes can take four extra steps in the pocket and give you a chance to run a secondary route. Yeah, he's the best quarterback. And I think next year, going into the season, he's going to be the front runner for the MVP. As much as Lamar Jackson was fantastic, he had highlight reel after highlight reel, and every single game for the first time in a long time, we wanted to watch the Baltimore Ravens. But with that said, we have recency bias as fans. Patrick Mahomes could possibly go down as one of the best passers of all time, and if he wins the Super Bowl, he isn't in the Dan Marino conversation. Dan Marino is the one dude that throws the prettiest ball that never won the ring. If Pat Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, now he has a ring, and you give him credit as a guy in his first season, not first season in the league, but first season on the field, second season in the NFL, he won an MVP. And this year, just keep in mind, he busted his kneecap. That thing shifted right in front of us. I mean, we saw dislocation like a GPS app, and all of a sudden, we were thinking to ourselves, this guy's never going to run on the field again. And he came back and was even better. So imagine if he didn't miss those games. I think we would have been having a head-to-head conversation with him and Lamar, but it just so happens he missed those games. So we're not even talking about him as this year's MVP. I feel like he's going to repeat again. So it would be MVP, year off, MVP.
If I'm in the Niners' defensive meetings right now,
yeah,
and let me know if I'm offside in this comment, because you played, I didn't. But we're rolling back a bunch of clips of Patrick Mahomes doing his thing.
Yeah.
If I'm in that room, and hopefully no one's recording the conversation, I look at the guys and I go, look, someone needs to bite the bullet on a flag, and when you have a shot at Patrick Mahomes, you need to take it down in Miami. Do you think that conversation's happening, potentially, in the Niners' room? Because I don't think they can beat him if he's upright. I don't think the Niners can. Richard Sherman and those guys, they have Olympic-level sprinters all over that offense.
Right.
They need to take the head of the snake out. And I was stunned that Tennessee, that had clean shots, couldn't really do anything with him.
Right.
Do you think the Niners, somebody on that Niners defense has to bite the bullet, take the flag, and have a go at this guy for them to have a chance to win?
I don't think take the flag. I heard that, I think it was Mike Floria had a comment about something similar. You know, if you have an opportunity, even if you need to take the flag, take a shot, whether he's on the sideline, an extra step on the sideline, even in the pocket, he lets go of the ball. You got to hit him somewhat late. I'm not really a fan or proponent of that. I just feel like if you have an opportunity to take a clean shot within the rules of the game, within the white lines, you knocked it out of him.
Sorry, let me rephrase it. You're right. I'm saying let him know you're there.
That's a better way to put it.
The implication was cheap. I didn't mean that. Let him know you're there. That's why guys yell all day.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. I met with some defenders when I was doing the game week 17. It was the Texans versus the Bucks, and I was talking to the Bucks defenders about facing Deshaun Watson. And they were telling me, you know what, when it comes to the RPOs and some of the play action, we have certain assignments. If I'm a DN or a linebacker, my assignment sometimes is hit the quarterback no matter what. We got linebackers that are going to worry about the run. We got DBs that are going to worry about the pass. So when it comes to run, pass, option, when he pulls that ball, whether he keeps it or not, You can hit them clean. You can take your shot. And sometimes these guys are hesitant. I'm talking to a defender in the NFL. He said, man, when it comes to facing Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, even if my assignment is to take my shot, sometimes I'm hesitant because they're so good, so athletic. Because Pat Mahomes can fool you into thinking that he's not much of a runner, guys, they pull back. With what you're saying, in full agreement, if your assignment is to hit Pat Mahomes, you better hit him. Like, you better take your shot and take your shot in a way that he can feel you. I think that's where teams don't take a lot of worth in. If you look at what the Chiefs did to the Titans, Derrick Henry was running through dudes. From week 17 on, even dating back a little bit further, when he made his campaign to take the rushing title, he was running through dudes. And when he didn't have the ball, when Pat Mahomes would run that play action, and Ryan Tannehill would run that play action and throw the ball, people would have hit him. Like, you know, you still can take a shot at a running back if he had a play fake. So the same thing applies with Patrick Mahomes. I agree. And it's not about sending a message. It's more about body shots. We're all fans of the same era of boxing. Yeah, exactly. And you remember those heavyweight matches where the body shots in the first round, boom. Second round, boom, boom. Third or fourth round, might not seem like it's working.
But eventually he goes no mas.
Exactly.
Eventually.
And eventually, Pat Mahomes, if you hit him enough, if you hit him enough within the rules of the game, in that fourth quarter, he's not going to be running as fast. He's not going to be as nimble. And he's not going to be quick to extend the pocket with his legs. You have to take a shot and take him down to the ground. And you know what? Put your body weight on him. You don't have to go cheap and try to punch a guy underneath the pile or even drive him into the ground. But if I'm 295 pounds and I hit Pat Mahomes, if I just lay on him, when I hit him, just fall on him. That's within the rules. Guess what? After four quarters, that stuff will wear you down.
It's funny because you're going old school, and the old school in my head says defense wins championships.
Yeah.
We still believe that?
You know, it's tough because I'm looking at this 49ers squad, and Bosa is a monster. And then they got super healthy at the end of the year.
Perfect
Richard
timing.
Sherman has had a resurgence, and it is perfect timing. But is the strength of the defense as good as the speed of the offense? You know, I feel like Patrick Mahomes, along with Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins last week all of a sudden was like, hey, guys, remember me? Yeah, the dude you guys
He'll
made fun
that.
Of.
Like every 5 weeks. Sammy
every
Watkins
5 weeks.
Will do that.
He's like, remember when you made fun of me making $13, $14 million? This is why they paid me that much money. And not to mention Travis Kelce is a wide receiver in a tight end's body.
Basically.
So to answer your question, I do believe that defense wins championships, but championships can get out of hand if you're as fast as an Olympic track team. Right. And I honestly feel like that. Like, you can be as brute and as strong and as tough as you want as a defense facing the Chiefs. But if I'm the Chiefs, it's kind of like that fast kid at recess. It's like everybody wants to play kickball or go play two-and-touch football. The fast kid is always like, hey, you guys want to race? Like, let's just race. And you're like, no, Fast Fred, we don't want to race you. You're the fastest in the school. That's the Chiefs' offense. You look at Tyreek Hill, him running. This is a grown man running past dudes that are getting paid millions to stop him, and yet and still he's doing the Nick Cannon drumline dance on people. But so like if you're Usain Bolt, you want to invite people to race you.
Yeah.
And that's what the Chiefs are. That's why they don't panic when they're 24 down. That's why they didn't panic last week when they were 10 down.
I'm trying to process what you just said. That's why they don't panic when they're 24 down.
How crazy is that?
Have we ever seen a team like that?
No, we haven't.
Including the Rams?
That's the start of the 30 for 30.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. I picked the Chiefs to win that game. And at 24 down, losing to Deshaun Watson, who's Mr. Big Game, as we all know, I thought to myself, there is no way the Chiefs are going to come back. And you know what's wild? After they scored their first touchdown, I started to scratch my head and said, man, they strike so fast. And I made this analogy just off the top of my head as we were talking on the show on CBS. I said, they strike fast as a viper, and it seemed like the venom is in the veins of that defense because the Houston Texans were paralyzed. And that's what happens. Like, even look at the Titans. Titans had moments. I was there.
Yeah.
It's cold. We're talking negative 10 degrees.
Yeah, the dream start.
You're hugging Phil Sims for
a while. Yeah.
Cold.
Tackling.
My pants are ripped. Yeah. Like, I'm literally assed out.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm sitting there thinking, the Titans are up 10. Up 10 with Derrick Henry as a running back. You're supposed to run away, figuratively and literally. And all of a sudden, they score. And I'm thinking to myself, it's over. The Titans are still up by 3 at this point.
So we haven't seen a team like this.
No,
this is something special. Now, to bring it back full circle, you can't do damage if you're feeling damage. So if they hit Patrick Mahomes, if they hit Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, then you have a different ballgame. Think about how many times you guys have free ran off the line of scrimmage. So for everybody that's sitting here watching, what I mean by free run off the line of scrimmage, if I'm Travis Kelce and I'm a big, fast tight end and I'm sitting here looking at you, whoever's in front of me, you need to shoot your hand. That's exactly what you need to do. Shoot them hands. Shoot them hands.
Way through, and then you got to battle through that.
You got to
do that every play. If you get one of these every play.
You see that emotion? You see that emotion?
Then.
What are you going
to
do now?
I don't want to have to file an HR complaint against Nate Burleson.
All right, my bad.
I'm ready to go, though. I'm going to ice up. I'm icing up both arms later. You guys think I'm kidding?
That was the vanilla gorilla over there going crazy.
Tammy at Tim and Sid. Love us some Nate Burleson on a Friday. Joshua at Tim and Sid. Must watch our Graham at Tim and Sid. We are raising the bar to an A-list level on Tim and Sid. It's coming in thick and fast.
Jane writes in, and I got this one, in quotations, tastes like vanilla.
Mm. Delicious.
There's a lot to break down off that first segment. Mm.
Your wife is lucky.
Tell them again.
We'll still figure out what I taste like after the break.
Yeah.
Also,
it's like a butterscotch ripple.
It's like butterscotch and olive. Yeah. It's like a mix, right?
Oh, yeah. Ew.
Olive.
Ew.
We'll discuss.
Is there like a butter pecan in there that you could go instead of the olive?
I don't like where this is going.
You get it with pecan, not olive.
The wonderfully versatile Nate Burleson in studio with Tim and Sid, so I can break this news from Shams Charania.
Nate's an NBA guy, absolutely.
I am.
Dallas has acquired Willie Cauley-Stein from the Warriors. So after the injury to fellow Canadian Dwight Powell.
Thoughts and prayers to Dwight Powell, by the way.
Yeah.
Get well soon, brother.
Unbelievable. He was shooting 72% from the floor.
How about that?
His Olympic dreams. Yeah. Gone just like that.
Yeah. Tore his Achilles. So they go out and get Willie Cauley-Stein. Interesting.
Having some height on that team helps, though.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're talented. They got some scores.
Can stay healthy, though.
Yeah.
That's a big if.
I like that bet that I got on Doncic for MVP.
I don't hate it. I still
start
think
of the year.
I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah.
He has the hype and he has the skills. When he first came on my radar, it was not this season. Last season, he said it's a little bit easier to score in the NBA. And this is, let's just call it what it is, not the most athletic of the dudes.
Right.
I saw recently there was a comparison between him and Larry Bird, which I thought was semi-fitting. You know, and he said because of the lack of fundamental skills, he was basically kind of making the comparison between the league, which is basically sometimes it could be a little N1 mixtape versus coming from overseas where fundamental is first. And I thought that was interesting. And I think it was a huge message to some of these AAU basketball players. Like, learn the fundamentals, man. You can dominate.
Yeah, and some of those European countries, very physical, too.
NBA analyst, Nate Burleson. Tim, let's go back.
More of this.
More like that?
Yeah, more.
I know. Well, I felt that earlier in the last segment.
By the way, you work out, man. Strong frame, bro.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He hurt me physically and is making me feel a million bucks.
Yeah, I'm like a Sour Patch Kid.
All right.
Let's go back a couple of months here, Timmy, because when Jennifer Lopez and Shakira were announced as the halftime act, none other than Nate Burleson of Extra got the J-Lo interview. For those who missed it,
Let's go back in time.
Let's go back.
Look at that.
You and Shakira, you guys will be performing.
That's right.
In Miami,
that's
Super Bowl halftime. How long have you been holding on?
How long have you been holding on
to this secret?
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so it's the biggest game in the world. Should we expect just a big old party?
It's gonna be a big party. I mean, you know, me, Shakira, you know, the Super Bowl stage. You know what that's like.
The outfits, the dances,
the whole thing. We're bringing all of it.
Man, I know you're a happily married man, but if you were single, A-Rod would be worried, man.
Well, listen, A-Rod was there, actually, you know, because I'm doing my thing. J-Lo comes up, she's floating through the room, and, you know, I got to turn it on immediately, and I'm doing my Nate Burleson thing. And I think at one point she kind of thought to herself, there's no way this guy played ball, because I told her at the very beginning, I said, hey, I used to play ball for 11 years, now I'm in the entertainment field. And in the middle of us sitting down, she kind of stopped everything, was like, wait, there's no way you played football. And I took it as a compliment, but also as like, football players are dumb. That's what I thought she was saying. Like,
Or maybe she just thought I was too comfortable. And she was like, and I'm giving her compliments about the movie Hustlers. And she said, you know what? Stop all the compliments. You're making me feel a certain type of way. And I was like, nope, that's A-Rod's job. And A-Rod was like, he was like sitting behind, because we were in a, like a.
So he's hold on. He's giving you cut eye through like from like a curtain.
Kenny, is he mean mugging you?
No, he wasn't mean mugging me. We were like in a perfume, like a cosmetic shop. Right. And he was like in between the perfumes. He was looking at me like, hey, all right, watch it with them compliments, Nate. But he's a good dude.
A-Rod nervous.
Shout out to J-Lo, man. She smelled like unicorn milk.
I don't want to point this out, but I feel like this is a compliment to us. When you do big tings, you wear this suit, apparently.
You see that?
I was like,
what I did there?
Yeah.
Well done, Michelle.
Look,
that's the suit.
I feel good now.
I feel like J-Lo.
J-Lo and then
I feel
us.
Like J-Lo.
This is my favorite
suit. Same suit.
Yep. It's one of my favorite suits. It's strong blue, you know. Mm-hmm. It brings out my eyes, even though my eyes are brown, but you know,
it's welcoming yet authoritative.
Yeah. Thank you. Right? I appreciate it. I wanted to come with something that brought a little flavor. You feel me? And on top of that, I have a little nice little blue chain on. It's a lion's tooth, if you want to see that right there. And I have my little my earring that matches. Yeah. You see what I'm doing there? And
trip.
I actually designed this. So for anybody
last
that likes
wedding
jewelry,
I was at, I wore that. Yeah, that was the outfit.
Drag swag. A few years ago, we had an argument about who the best halftime act ever was. Well, we argued about that, and I don't want you to weigh in yet. We did agree on one thing, that every conversation about musical acts at the Super Bowl must begin.
All acts, you're saying.
Must begin with Whitney Houston.
Talk about it.
1991. Mm. I don't even have to talk about it.
Mm.
We can listen to it.
Hey, now. Oh, man. Sing it. Keep going.
It's a top three singer of all time.
Woo!
Top three singer of all time.
Woo! But it wasn't just Whitney. We've seen some acts at halftime.
The Rolling Stones at the age of 90 in 2006. Springsteen in 2009 was okay.
Look at that.
Are you a Springsteen guy like that?
Was that a 4-4 right there? Look, did he just crotches?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
That was big in 2009. Going crotch first to the camera.
These days he gets sued for that.
Yeah.
Sid does this dance a lot, too.
This is what I do my Pilates to.
Beyonce did her thing. Did Bruno come out in this one?
There was a lot of cameos in this one, if I
feel
remember
like
correctly.
Bruno was a different year. Bruno got his own, right?
I feel like Bruno joined Beyonce.
Did he do both?
Oh.
Oh,
I'm
going
to shut up on this. Preach. It was actually raining, right?
It actually rained.
It was raining. Yeah.
I think he said, "Dearly beloved," and the rain came down. Yeah. Like he summoned the rain.
Yeah. They were in Miami for that.
Yep.
I was in Miami for that.
Were you?
Like I said, Tim McAuliffe. And there's Mike.
Oh, man.
Want to say Rose Bowl?
You gotta imagine, like, there was, like, a bunch of grown men that passed out. Oh.
Yeah. CBS didn't like this.
Passed out then. Grown men pass out when Justin grabbed a certain. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Timmy, this U2, after 9/11, people forget how emotional this one was.
Yeah,
you're right.
This was a significant halftime show.
Okay, so I ask you the easy question after all that. Best halftime show ever was?
You know, I loved Prince. I was a big Prince guy, but Beyonce, just because I feel like Beyonce doesn't get enough respect, the fact that she can sing and dance at the same time. So I might just have to say Beyonce, and that might be a little recency bias. What about you guys? What do you guys say?
Listen, I know the Michael Jackson conversation's happening a lot in the cancel culture that we're in for a lot of reasons, and I saw the doc, and I have my own opinions.
Right.
He will never not be in my mind the greatest musician I've ever seen.
No doubt about it.
I'm really struggling with the Michael Jackson one, but I'm going to say Michael Jackson.
You used the wrong word. If you had said greatest performer, I would have went with you. But I wrote something down at the bottom, and I said the correct answer is Prince, because that's the greatest musician.
I'm not going to be mad at that.
He's a musical genius.
Yeah, like unbelievably musically talented.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. I'm going to play the guitar here, and people just went, oh, my God!
Yeah. You know what's crazy is
every instrument, every album
is like there was that,
and I saw some good ones. I was there for Springsteen, McCartney, Prince.
I was there in Minnesota when Timberlake did his halftime show, and he was promoting his new album. But then he also, they paid homage to Prince with like a little, like a, some type of
Turned It Purple
theatrical thing. And it's funny because Prince at one point had a little beef with Timberlake because Timberlake had a song called I'm Bringing Sexy Back. And Prince was like, sexy never left,
never
fam.
Left. I had it the whole time.
Come on, man. I'm Prince.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
We are going to step aside here in a couple minutes, or a couple seconds, actually. We got Best of the Week coming up.
Yeah, Best of the Week?
Will you stick around for Best of the Week?
I'm not going anywhere. I want to read the prompter, though. I'm trying to be part of the show.
You could read the prompter this time, because I don't know if you...
Nate Burleson taking us to break. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, listen, we got Best of the Week next. WWE Aftermath coming up right here. All right.
On Sportsnet 360.
Yeah, 360.
On Sportsnet 360. Okay. That's exactly
They're
what it
leaving
is.
Us. They're going Best to Aftermath. It's kind of, it's a little different
it's a,
right
it's
now.
It's a thing. Okay. There's some traffic cop with us right now, but we'll get through it together. Again, Best of the Week with Nate Burleson.
Why don't you read the part where it said ad lib?
Oh, ad lib. I'm here with two of the most handsome guys in the business.
Yeah, that's a terrible ad lib because you're just lying through your teeth.
You smell like unicorn milk.
Appreciate it. We didn't really give you a prompt to read going to break.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, it's time for the Best of the Week, brought to you by Mary Brown's Crave Delicious. And just like Marshawn said, you got to protect your chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He did say that.
Yeah.
He did say that.
And we protect our chicken at Mary Brown's.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Mary Brown's is going down at Mary Brown's.
Protect your chicken. First up.
Do we have to explain how this goes for everyone at home?
Oh, I'll explain it. You got the first one.
Yeah.
We're going to run some of the more random/hilarious stuff of the week with Nate, who's been kind enough to sit in with us.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to go through all the nominees, go to sportsnet.ca/vote. We will announce the winner coming up fairly quickly. It's a quick turnaround on the vote, so get involved quickly.
Listen.
Tim McAuliffe is nominee number.
The first one doesn't live up to the billing because it's just from our hearts. The second Canadian ever to be elected into the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Larry Walker. First position player earlier this week. We pay homage to the pride of Maple Ridge, BC.
Respect.
Hello, may I speak with Larry Walker, please?
Oh. You're speaking to him.
Hi, Larry. This is Jack O'Connor with the Baseball Writers Association of America in New York.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling to let you know that you did not fall short this time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah!
My best friend came into town, my brother came into town, and we sat up and had some drinks and listening to Rush videos all night on TV. So we were celebrating a little Rush last night. This is way better than that SpongeBob shirt I wore yesterday, I think.
No, it's really not.
Yeah. You offered me $50 for it. So.
Does Nate Burleson care who did not vote for Derek Jeter to go to the Hall of Fame? Do you care to know the identity of the one person?
I do want to know.
Really?
I kind of want to know. Yeah. Why, though? Why? Is he that guy?
I think it was a mistake.
He's that guy.
Everybody has that guy, right?
No, it's that guy.
Why are you pointing at me?
No. It was just accidental.
There's nothing accidental about it. I was hearing you reporting in this direction.
Sometimes you're that guy, though.
Sometimes I can be that.
That's true. Nate knows the show.
Yes.
Nate knows the show.
All right, it's time to play Canada's fastest growing game show. Name the hip hop reference from the impeachment hearings.
What?
Impeachment hearing?
The game where I run you a clip of the current impeachment hearings going on in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to discuss politics either way. We just have a piece of audio that I think some people may find rather enjoyable. This is from Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from the 8th District of New York. That might be a clue.
Whoa. Hakeem?
Ladies and gentlemen.
He's black, for sure.
Name this hip-hop reference from the impeachment hearings.
Ain't no white Hakeems around here.
We are here, sir, because President Trump solicited foreign interference in the 2020 election and corrupted our democracy. That is why we are here, Mr. Sekulow. And if you don't know, now you know.
That might win this week. I think I might win it.
Hey, listen.
Can you punctuate that?
just so everybody at home is ready for it. Whenever a politician hesitates, he's digging in his hip-hop bag. You know what I'm saying? It's like me being like, you know what? I like the 49ers, but it ain't nothing but a Jimmy G thing, baby. like the pause gives you, like, the heads up.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of the impeachment, y'all know I'm Canadian, so if they keep tripping in the States, I'm coming right up here. I'm sleeping on your couch, fam.
All right. You'll be disappointed. I have a cheap couch.
All right. It's all right.
I feel like I really wanted him to end that lyric in the Senate, but that's just me. Mark Ingram, listen, has been dropping lyrics all year long.
I love Mark.
Big trust.
And Mark Ingram continued that at the Pro Bowl. Here is your Ravens running back going off again.
Giving us content.
Hey, you got to give them what they want. They want the content. I'm going to give it to them. I know I told them to put me in a pass rush package. I reduced the edge on them. Force fumble. They don't want that to happen because I'm going to have to switch positions. Then I'm holding out. I get 10 sacks. I'm getting at least 10 milli. I only know one way to go. When I touch the rock, I can't even turn down. I don't even know how.
Close your eyes.
Watch him dance.
Ingram on the assist. Ingram on the 60-yard. Goal assist. That's my dog.
Watch this.
Hey, one time.
Handshake.
Boom.
Hey. Hey.
Show a little bit of personality sometimes,
bro.
Justin Tucker asking for a little bit of personality. Makes that clip. All right, nominee number four here on Best of the Week with Nate Burleson. Obviously, Packer Nation did not have a good championship Sunday in the National Football League. We have audio and video here of one Packer fan who was actually at Levi Stadium Sunday.
Oh.
Who was leaving the upper deck where he was sitting when the game was fairly in hand. Now, as we know, a Niner fan in that situation may not be kind to a Packer fan leaving Levi Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But not only were the fans kind of respectful and hilarious, but the Packer fan was kind enough to record this moment from his own perspective to share with us. So here is Niners Nation serenading this Packers fan on the way out of Levi Stadium last week.
He's just taking it on the chin.
At least he has a beer.
That's a long ass walk.
Yeah, he was. He got that cheap stub up.
That's why we love sports.
That's great.
That's all I'm good fun, with that.
Don't throw stuff. Don't say any curse words.
Right. Keep just, it clean. Keep it clean.
Had his son with him behind, big smile on his face. I'm good with that.
You guys have the best clips, by the way. Top 10.
We're trying. You know, NBA on TNT has a game called Who He Play For.
Yeah.
Apparently, Shaq needs a game Who He. Just Who He. Not
just,
Who He Play
just
For.
Just Who He.
Just Who He.
Who He. Life.
Watch.
LeBron James.
That wasn't LeBron.
What you mean they ain't LeBron?
That was Michael Caldwell Pope.
Michael Caldwell.
He doesn't exist, Michael Caldwell Pope.
He played for him.
He's the brother of Xavier Caldwell Pope.
Michael. You're having the worst, man. Michael.
For those who don't know, it's Kentavious Caldwell Pope, which is nowhere close.
And Shaq is an NBA analyst.
Yes. To Michael Caldwell Pope.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Shaq next Friday. I'm headed to Shaq's funhouse party in Miami.
Caldwell
Pope. I'm going to call him Michael Caldwell Pope. And then I'm going to ask him the battle rap.
You're going to ask him the battle rap?
I'm going to kill him like Dame Dash did.
Well, I've heard him rap before. You don't have much competition.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on.
He does have
Shaq Fu?
Hold on.
Seriously?
He has one famous line.
Warline.
Which is what?
He got a track with Biggie, You Can't Stop the Rain, which is one of my favorite tracks, but that was in the 90s.
Okay. Tell me how my ass tastes. No, hold on. There is context.
First off, I don't know.
There is context to that.
I can't take this anymore. Who smells like unicorn milk.
All right.
He's leaving the set.
You guys don't remember when he went to his stage?
What just happened here?
No, he's right. Tim's making an actual statement.
Hey, listen, that's how you get pink eye, man. All right? Don't you do that.
Right, the answer is terribly. For the record.
What is it? Turned into Jeopardy over here?
We lost Nate Burleson. He's on the floor. I'm sorry. Tell me,
because this is one of the. I mean, it might be. I know you're a little younger.
It's a
than
valid us. Reference.
What do you mean? I'm the same age as you guys. What are you talking about?
You don't remember when Shaq is in the club when they're beefing?
No, I remember. He's on the microphone.
Hey, Kobe,
tell me how my ass tastes.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, I remember. I just, coming from you in this setting, right, I had to give you a hard time about it.
What I was talking about a donkey, right? Okay. We all know that. Yeah. Yeah. It was a donkey.
All right, let's segue into hockey.
Okay.
Shrek.
The All-Star game.
Let's segue.
That was a good segue.
That's awful.
I appreciate it.
Skills competitions tonight in St. Louis. All-Star game tomorrow night in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Auston Matthews was going to play for the Leafs. A wrist injury meant he can't go this weekend. So Brady Tkachuk, a kid for the Ottawa Senators, who's from St. Louis, his brother's already in the game. Matthew plays for Calgary. Now it's a whole family affair. So Brady Tkachuk, he is going to the All-Star game. He was on the show yesterday. We asked Brady, where was he and what was he doing when he got the call from the NHL that he was going to the All-Star game to play? This is what he said.
Well, to be honest with you, I wasn't on my phone. I was in Bahamas with a couple of friends, and to be honest with you, I was at Senior Frogs, so I was having fun, and I got the call, and it was just pure excitement. It was just surreal to be here now.
You take the Senior Frog shot glass, you leave, and then you head to St. Louis.
Yeah. No comment.
Just say you're hammered.
Nobody wants to talk about ever being a Senior Frogs, yet everyone knows what Senior Frogs is about.
Right.
No one wants to have the conversation.
Well, I think
just like the Shaq hip-hop conversation.
No, but I think people have the conversation. They just have it in private.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to have it on national TV.
Good point.
Though while we were on national TV, Brian Burke was with us, and Brian Burke isn't one to hold back. Here is a former NHL GM, worked with the league, has done basically everything in hockey. And here's what he does to Brady Tkachuk.
Brady, you didn't get much of a tan down there, buddy.
I know. I was in the shade most of the time. I was scared of the sun.
I would stay away from your dad if I were in St. Louis because the buttons might pop off his shirt and blind me. He's so proud of you, too. You got to save that picture. There's a picture in there where Chris Pronger actually looks like he's being nice to somebody. I'm betting every cent I have that neither of you two Tkachuks are going to be in the fastest skater contest.
It's like the All-Star game. I think the All-Star game sucks. I think the athletic contest sucks.
If Sid and I, we have a net behind us, did an old school accuracy challenge, who do you think wins this challenge?
You answered the question before he was done asking.
Target.
0-1. Oh, he hit him. 0-3.
Yep. For Sergio almost. Montana. Okay.
0-4.
How are we doing, Berkey?
You're doing about like I expected you'd do.
But my form, Berkey. Do I have some form that I can work with going forward?
This is a good weekend for garbage TV.
All right, so that Nate Burleson is the field for this week's edition of Best of the Week. We have 4 seconds before we go to break. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I'm going to just go with that last clip. I feel like he should star in Grumpier Old Man 3.
That might be his new segment. Yeah.
We'll talk more Super Bowl Halftime Show with Nate Burleson. We'll have the winner for Best of the Week. Sportsnet.ca/vote is how you can vote right now. We'll be back after this. That's a strong field, Tim.
It is a pretty strong field.
You didn't hit one.
I don't think it's a point, really. I think it's about trying.
No, it's not.
Tim and Sid on radio and TV, coast to coast to coast, and apparently beyond. Nate Burleson in studio to join us, and Gary is watching us currently in Honduras. They sent us a picture of Tim, Sid, and Nate.
Wow.
From the Sundowners Bar in Honduras. Mm. So,
is there Senior Frogs in Honduras?
Gentlemen, can you have a drink for us?
Will do. I thought you were going to read another tweet about.
I hope they're not.
I got a few.
How things taste. I love this Honduras. I love this Honduras tweet, though.
Is that on the menu down in Honduras?
People are following.
I hope not.
Don't worry. Dave wrote in and say, "Hey Nate, doesn't Tim?" maybe I'll just let that one go for the TV audience. All right.
Damn.
Smash writes in and says, new promo dropping for Tim and Sid, right meow.
Oh.
And it has two cats, and it says, 2 scoops, 1 vanilla, 1 butterscotch.
I'm a cat person. That's cute. That's adorable.
Get it back. And Chris just writes in and says, Nate Burleson, best guest ever, and adds the, it's over, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow. Don't tell Berkey.
Vince Carter.
I gotta wash my mouth out.
Don't tell Berkey. I think we missed a lot of stuff.
You said vanilla.
Yeah, but I mean, after that tweet, man, it got me thinking about some things.
I do moisturize every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
It was soft and supple, man.
Right.
But there were cashews. But there were cashews.
Time now for what we missed.
What we missed.
This is too much. We spoke about the Super Bowl halftime show earlier. And, of course, we know the headliners because Nate talked to Jennifer Lopez as I power through everything. And Shakira is the other part of that halftime show.
Right.
But because it's 2020 and the internet is a thing, there's an image that has been floating around that has a fake set list for the halftime show.
Is it fake, though?
That's part of the question.
That's part of the debate.
Do you believe it? I'm going to list off the names here. Some people believe Ja Rule, Mr. Pitbull, Mr. 305, Wyclef Jean, and if it's true, I may be gone until November. There's an MM on there.
Okay. Nicki Minaj, I'm guessing that's what that stands for.
Immediately, Sixero with the Nicki Minaj. And Beyonce.
Oh.
Do you believe this?
I don't believe Beyonce. Because I don't think Beyonce is going to guest on somebody else's set. Beyonce is too big to like be a guest. Like she would do.
This is Jay-Z's first year.
Okay.
No, but Beyonce's not a team player. Like I'm with Nate. Beyonce's not a team player like that. Like didn't Jay-Z and Beyonce show up late to the Golden Globes and everyone's like, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Like they can do whatever the hell they want. They do their own thing.
I think that's a wish list, not a guest list. I feel like Wyclef Jean could be a possibility.
Yeah, I like Wyclef.
Ja Rule. I mean, I know Ja. What's up, Ja? But I do feel like Ja's chilling at the crib. If Ja was able to do a set on halftime, he'd be all in.
And Jennifer Lopez leading with Get Right is not the track. Like, Let's Get Loud, which she performed at the World Cup, Women's World Cup final at the Rose Bowl.
Brandi Chastain.
She performed there. I disagreed with the whole set list. I thought it was clunky. Didn't make a lot of sense. I think that's a fake.
It's a pump fake.
I think
that's it's a pump fake.
DJ Khaled?
Yeah.
What about him?
Well, it's Miami.
And another one.
And he wasn't on there.
Yeah, he wasn't on there.
DJ Khaled, he has to be a part of it,
in some
way,
shape, or form.
DJ Khaled.
He's got to be on like a side stage.
Come on
now.
Super Bowl preparations underway, both Chiefs and Niners. But Tyreek Hill spoke to the media about how he's getting ready for the big game. A little different. I want you to hear from him.
Oh, I just go home and I play Madden, man. So I like play my own Super Bowl. I play the Chiefs versus the 49ers, and I just get my thing going. Of course, I'm throwing myself the ball, so, you know.
Who won?
And Chiefs every time. It's on rookie, though. I play on rookie, so don't judge me. Don't nobody judge me. I play on rookie, man.
I'm going to judge him.
He play on rookie?
That's ridiculous.
That's
ridiculous. No NFL player should play Madden on rookie. That's a joke. But if you played Madden right now, you'd be at least what?
I'm going with All Pro. Is there All Pro level on there?
All Pro.
Something like that.
Right? I think Pro.
Something higher than rookie.
You want to pad
Hall
the
of Fame.
Stats.
There's like Hall of Fame or something.
You want to pad the stats, don't you?
You want to pad
the stats.
You
want to compete because you're a competitor.
He's so much faster and better than everybody. He shouldn't be playing on rookie mode. He
shouldn't be playing on rookie.
But I like that, though. That's how you prepare for the big game.
Tonight is the NHL Skills Competition. What do you make of this? B-League Japan. This is their All-Star Weekend three-point competition.
I saw this.
And there's a robot hitting threes and missing threes.
Yeah, that one was a little clunky.
But also hitting threes.
No, this last set, he got busy on them. But just the simple fact that he could maneuver his way over to the rack and then actually make shots. Like, isn't this ridiculous?
And pick up a ball.
Like, come on, fam.
Sid, Nate, could you beat this robot in a three-point shooting contest?
No doubt about it. No doubt about
it. I have no idea if I could, but just remember this moment when the robots start the war. And we all laughed at this and thought it was cute. And three teenagers from another part of the world said, you know what? Let's make them think. And then we're all trying to band together and find as many weapons as we can and get Arnold Schwarzenegger in here and try and win. Like, remember this moment when the robots take over and become our lords.
I just imagine
that.
I just imagine all the young black kids from the hood just like, damn, man, I really love playing basketball. And then another kid's like, but he ain't dunking, though. I got hops, fam.
Unless it's programmed.
Yeah.
I love how Sid deflected that away from any of his three-point shooting skills because you just saw his hockey skills.
What's up with your three-point shooting skills, though? Seriously.
It's
what? Wait.
It tastes like butterscotch.
First of all, why is he talking as if he's just a superior athlete? Is that true? Am I catching the right vibe here?
I'm better than... See, he's lucky. He's done a few things on air that he's really good at, but I'm superior in most other things.
Really? Oh, what? Damn. He was so offended by that.
We have like video of this repeatedly.
I've never had video of this repeatedly. What's the video?
Over the shoulder shots, the net, the one-handed catch in here from a former university quarterback from like three feet away.
He's pretty good.
What more do you want?
Yeah, but whatever. Like, I don't care.
You know, there's things that you're good at.
Oh, now you don't care all of a sudden. Wait, listen. Next time I come up here, can we do a gladiator event? Can we take this outdoors?
I don't want to do a gladiator event.
I'll judge. He does have skills. I don't want to.
Skills in what?
This.
In what?
Let me show you from the start
of the show. Picking something off the menu.
Sid Sixero from the start of the show. A little freestyle action to All-Star, of course.
Oh, yeah, this happened.
What?
It is Friday, January 24th. I didn't call for this. The Leafs are struggling, the Habs are struggling, Flames are struggling, they hate the Oilers hate Calgary, Vancouver, where are you? Oh, you're up in a tree in first place, doing really well, trying to rhyme quickly, don't dwell, Brady Tkachuk is an all-star going down, thank you, Austin Matthews, hey now, you're an all-star, get your game on, go play. Hey now, skills competition tonight on Sportsnet and CBC. Some of them aren't that good. All that glitters is gold. I hope Canada's 3-on-3 women's team kicks some ass tonight.
All right, you're done.
Right. What was that part? Wasn't there a whistle part in the song?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry. It overcame.
Yeah, so that's the proof I have skills.
That was really good, bro.
Thanks.
It's one thing to freestyle, but the freestyle on rhythm on a song.
To Smash Mouth.
That was fire.
Thank you.
That was fire. For real, seriously.
Nice. I appreciate it.
That's hard to do.
Thank you.
I would say that you can't do that.
I can't.
No, come on.
I can't.
Guan.
No.
It has nothing to do with your vanilla complexion. I'm just saying, I just don't think your skill level possesses that type of.
Are you giving Butterscotch more credit?
I'm just saying, sometimes you need a little sauce to, like, sauce it up.
I also go by the name Rocky Road.
I will say in the past, sometimes I rhymed slow.
Sometimes I rhyme quick. Okay. I see what you did there. Okay. Now, never mind. You got skills.
Is it time for the Best of the Week winner?
It is.
What do we got?
All right, Best of the Week winner get brought to you by Mary Brown's. The votes are in. We had a quick turnaround on this, but it was one of the deepest fields we've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The winner, my eyes are going on me. Oh, Brian Burke hating on life is the winner. Run it back.
Brady, you didn't get much of a tan down there, buddy.
I know. I was in the shade most of the time. I was scared of the sun.
I would stay away from your dad if I were in St. Louis because the buttons might pop off his shirt and blind me. He's so proud of you, too. You got to save that picture. There's a picture in there where Chris Pronger actually looks like he's being nice to somebody. I am betting every cent I have that neither of you two Tkachuks are going to be in the fastest skater contest. It's like the All-Star game. I think the All-Star game sucks. I think the athletic contest sucks.
Yep.
If Sid and I, we have a net behind us, did an old school accuracy challenge, who do you think wins this challenge?
You answered the question before he was done asking.
Target. 0-for-1.
Oops.
Oh, he hit a...
What
was your strategy? Did you try to aim?
0-for-4.
How are we doing?
I think you're just like, I'm going to just swing it and hope. Were you working more on hope?
Do I have some form that I can work with going forward?
This is a good weekend for garbage TV.
Oh, Berkey, I love that. Berkey was feeling no pain by the end of it.
Look, I like when he goes in and he says, you didn't get much of a tan down there, buddy. He hits him with a cigarette laugh like... You know, that's coming from the diaphragm. That's a good laugh.
Berkey. We love Berkey. Listen, we and Tim's seeing the same thing I am at Tim and Sid right now. The tweets that are pouring in terms of love for Nate Burleson are too many to name. You would do us a favor if you want to give Nate some love at Nate Burleson on Twitter, and because he is one of our favorites, he does not have to do this. He is a highly successful entrepreneur. His brand is growing by the minute, and he continues to give us time, and never mind give us time, but to come up here to Toronto after a long season. You love your morning show, but that's a morning show. We've all kind of been there a little bit. That is a tough, tough schedule. For you to come up, we all want to thank you for doing this. We love what you're doing. We appreciate you. And
I thought you were going to add, if you don't know, now you know at the end of that. But you know.
Well, just goes with the flow of my show today.
Yeah.
So thanks again for coming.
Yeah, no problem.
I've told you guys this before, and I'll tell you again now that I'm here face-to-face with you. Sometimes you just meet people, and it feels like family. I haven't missed a Friday because it's really fun to me, and I enjoy it. And if you guys are family, everybody that are sitting at home, if you're listening, if you catch us on the radio, if these guys are family, you're my cousins, so I appreciate you guys showing me love. It means more than you know, seriously. And I check every tweet, and I'm going to continue to come back as long as you'll have me.
It's great. Unbelievable every Friday what we see up here. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it. The Raptors and the Knicks are on Sportsnet 1. Hockey Central starts at 7:30 Eastern. So there's ton to watch and to listen to on both stations. Thanks, Nate. And thanks for listening and watching.